Going from being bullied to starting her own cult? What?
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Dupree, scouring the globe to bring you stories of courage, passion, and resilience. If I could sum up this podcast into one word, I would use empathy. Now let's get inspired.
Thank you and welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I am your host once again, Brett Dupree. Here today I have an interview with Unicole Unicron, a cult leader of the Unicult. Never thought I'd say uni so many times. Before I get to that wonderful interview, I begin every podcast by talking about what's going on in my life, because if I can't be vulnerable, how can I expect my guests to be vulnerable? Well, of course, this is now May 6, 2020, and I like to say the dates because we are still in the midst of the pandemic. I am doing a lot of unfriending people on Facebook because they keep on sharing conspiracy theories, and I'm just not a conspiracy theory type of person. I more try to look at the reality of the situation and what is going on. But that's not what I really wanted to talk about. I just want to put that within it. Mostly I've been playing a video game called Old World, which is super fun. But the thing that got into my mind in the last, mostly the last five interviews, I've been thinking to myself, I forgot who I was talking to. I was talking to a prospective person on my podcast, prospective guest. I was thinking about how much money I am spending on this podcast. I am spending $20 a month for Zencastr, then $10 a month for Dropbox for Zencastr, and then $12 a month for the hosting on Buzzsprout. This last month was $4 extra because I use the time, because I also do my Church of Awesome podcast on the same feed, and that just costs more money. So I'm thinking to myself, that's what, $12 plus $20 plus $11, so that's $43 a month, roughly. And once I pay my credit card down, I plan on upping that for $100 and just pay $100 a month on ads for my podcast. It just gets me thinking, is my podcast worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth all the time? Because this takes at least 40 minutes per inch. Each podcast takes around 40 minutes. And 40 minutes for the interview and everything. And then there's the talk and there's the people. And reaching out to people is hard for me, even though I'm getting better at it. And also, I have to consider the time editing. Per the 30-minute interview, it probably takes three times. So that takes an hour and a half of editing. I don't really like editing, but I like the results of editing. It just sounds better to me, and that's what matters to me, and I am the person who matters. Also thinking, because I'm thinking of adding $8 more a month or so, $6, because Buzzsprout has this thing to clean up my audio, and I would like my audio cleaned up, especially when I have interviews such with Unicole, who had some issues on her end, and I think that hurt the levels, and I don't just have the, I don't have the expertise or the energy to really worry too much about getting the levels right, and they have like a master thing. So that's more money. And I was thinking about when I first started my podcast, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it at all. The time, the effort, the low views. You know, it's funny. I was looking at this thing called Podcorn, which is utilized to try to get people to advertise on there. And of course, I have no bites because no one wants to advertise on a small podcast such as this, even though amazing to get like $50 a month just to pay for it. But what I was thinking was they have a different way of doing analytics. The way Buzzsprout does it is by downloads, and it is lowish. And on the spectrum of Podcorn, they go listens, and their listens are generally twice to three times as many. And I was looking over them, and I was thinking to myself that if I started out with that many, I mean, if I hit that now, if I ever get to the point where I can double my listener base or triple it, I'd be happy because of where I started to where I'm going. But if I started at that tripled space, if I was still there now, would I not still be kind of disappointed? And the answer to that is, well, kinda. I think I would be. I think I would be a little disappointed. The fact that, you know, I have that many listens. I mean, if I even had a conversation with somebody who, there's certain people I really wanted on my podcast, and I talked to one of them last week. And when I talked, when they asked me the question a lot of people ask is, what do your listeners like? And the only listener I know I have on a consistent basis is my girlfriend. And generally speaking, I have roughly, I would say now 10 listeners, I think. I think most, according, I'm starting to see at least at least 6 of my Church of Awesome, and these ones generally get 10 to 15 of the downloads according to Buzzsprout. And I'm like, I don't really have that many. I have around 6 to 10, and I could just feel the deflation in her voice. And then she was almost trying to, I could see her trying to make me feel better about my low numbers. But I'm at a point where I'm fine with that. I'm no longer doing the podcast to try to reach everybody. I'm doing it because I enjoy it, because now it is worth it. I love the connections I make. I love interviewing people. I love helping people, especially the people who are newer to podcasts. That's the thing that excites me a lot. I had multiple people be thankful to me for what I do and helping them get their first podcast out. I've had people, I just learned that somebody who shared, Amanda, who shared her story, that was the first time she shared her story in a podcast form. And I think it might have been the first time she shared her story publicly. I didn't know, but that's what it sounded like in her post. And that just made me feel good. That made me feel so proud that I'm able to provide that space for somebody. I mean, yes, I would love it if more people listened. I would love it if my podcast took off. I would so love it, because it just makes me feel good and helps my ego. But at the same time, I do love being that safe space for people to come on and talk about themselves, come on and love themselves, and able to get over that step, that fear of putting themselves out there. Because I truly believe in getting your message out there and sharing yourself. And there's just something very special, because somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody out there needs to hear you. And so just my feelings of my podcast is completely different. I'm going through these trying times of the COVID-19 pandemic, and my podcast is not something that causes me stress. I mean, it would have at first. The first 12 or 20 or so episodes, especially when I got to the point where I couldn't get any guests on, and then I did podcastguest.com, which was helpful, but that was a different kind of overwhelming, because all of a sudden I had all the guests, and that was overwhelming in that sense, and all of a sudden I was just caught between those two and wondering all this time and effort, and some of the interviews not going well, then having connection issues, and just dealing with all the stress. I imagine if this happened during the beginning of my podcast roughly 2 years ago, it'll be pretty, 2 years ago this June, I think, next month is when I started, I don't think I would have continued. I think I would have quit, because it was stress-inducing. But now it feels part of me. I love it, and it helps. I mean, one thing I don't like telling people is, yes, I want to get out there. I want to do my Church of Awesome. I want to speak. But exactly what it looks like, the vision for myself is very fuzzy. I don't know, other than helping people live their best lives. I know I want to do more speaking than coaching. I know I want to do workshops, but actually doing it and what it looks like, I have so many, I still have the blocks, mostly about my weight. But even if I weighed nothing, not nothing, but even if I was in shape, I still would have to worry about the fraud phenomenon, wondering why people would listen to me. Because, I mean, there's just almost some sort of hubris of just going out there telling people to live their best life, when my best life is telling people how to live their best life. So just me doing it is proof, but it's not proof because I'm not, you know what I'm trying to say. It's like a catch 22 situation, where me living my best life is me telling people how to live their best life. But have I really learned how to live my best life, a happy, joy filled life? That would probably still be getting in my way, because honestly, even if with my weight, I could still do that if that's what I loved and I didn't have those roadblocks. And maybe that roadblocks is part of the weight. But yeah, but this podcast gives me an outlet, and it's special to me, and I love doing it. And all this stress that's happening, missing my girlfriend, watching conspiracy theories, watching people just protest, and the Nazis coming back in full force, becoming more mainstream. So all that outside stress, this podcast has turned into something for me that I enjoy doing. And so 100% now it is worth it. And especially worth it because of who I interviewed for this week. When I started my podcast, I had 3 people I wanted to get on. One was Kat Kim, because I met her and I've been following her career and it's been awesome and her story is amazing and I knew it because she shares it online. I just knew that would make a good interview. Andy Dooley, who was I wanted for my 50th episode because he's the most famous guy I know and met and hung out with. I mean, I've met Mike Dooley and talked to his brother, who's more famous, but I just have a better rapport than he, and I just wanted that to be my special 50th episode. And then this person, Unicole Unicron. Many years ago, I was watching MTV for some reason, or maybe it was YouTube. It was something. And it was a documentary on So You Want to Be a Cult Leader or something like that. And there was two people on there. One guy who looked like a wizard and Unicult, who had the Unicult. And I looked it up and to be honest, I thought it was pretty cool. It was very aligned with what I believed. And she also lived in Washington. And in my mind, I kind of made it one of my goals is to meet this person. I met her once. Gave her a hug. It was super fun. It was a short conversation. It wasn't super in-depth. But then I thought when I tuned my podcast, I want to have this person on. So I'm definitely happy for this interview. Unicole Unicron is a pop star cult leader from space. She started Unicult to change the entire world into a Unitopia. She holds weekly church meetings, as well as she does painting and journals and a cool Discord with her guests. So now here is my interview with the Unicole. Hello, Unicole, and welcome to my podcast.
Thank you for having me on.
I actually discovered you watching an MTV special many years ago.
Yeah.
How did you get on there?
I actually was sort of guided spiritually to look on their website. And then when I looked, they had a section for, have you created your own religion? And I had, and I thought that was pretty wild that on the time that I chose to look at MTV's casting website, they were asking for someone with my exact situation to be on. So I applied and they loved me and then they filmed the episode.
That's so cool. So who were you before you decided to create your own religion?
I mean, I was the same person, generally speaking, just not as empowered. I would say that creating my own religion has been like the most empowering thing that I've ever done. Until that point, I was just kind of going along with the world and going along with whatever was expected of me and trying to make the best of life from that perspective.
So what got you to wanting to start your own religion?
Just that idea in general of being disempowered and wanting to change the world and wanting to create my own reality in the sense that I wanted to see the world where I could actually thrive and be happy. I had severe depression and anxiety. And I kind of realized that it was the world that was giving me that depression and anxiety and not necessarily my own mental health.
So what is it about the world that was giving you that anxiety?
I think I've pretty much narrowed it down to the idea that the world is predicated on getting people to fit into different boxes and expecting people to easily conform to the same expression and the same, like everyone's supposed to kind of be the same, wake up at the same time, go to a job, be able to navigate these social expectations all kind of in the same way. And it's not feasible and it's not true. A lot of people, myself included, who I know and who I love are very magical people who have access to alternate realities. And the world as it currently stands doesn't really allow for that. That's something that should be medicated and is looked down upon.
So how did you go about starting this religion?
I started online, and it's mostly still online. I basically started creating multimedia content. I realized that a lot of people go about their daily lives behaving and acting and believing certain things and being certain ways because we're brainwashed. Our media brainwashes us to expect a certain level of normalcy and a certain level of behavior. So I realized that if I was going to really change the world, I had to use the same method as are currently being used to control people. So I started using what I call brainwashing, which is multimedia. It's music and music videos and art, the written word and everything. And I put those things online and just started amassing a following online on social media.
Were there any doubts or fears of putting yourself out there like this?
For me, I've always found the internet to be a safe space. A lot of people go online to like, in the early days, they went online to like lie about who they were. But for me, I went online and it was a space for me to actually be who I really am, to be my true self. I found that it was a place where I could be who I really am without a negative pushback compared to trying to be myself in my real life, in the real world, and getting made fun of constantly or getting bullied. So online, I was still getting bullied, but it just didn't seem to have as much weight. For me, having the safe space of the internet, as unusual as that may be, was really my motivator. And it helped me really put myself out there I also have always kind of felt like I was surveilled from even a young age. And this really goes hand in hand with our modern post-9/11 Patriot Act culture of the NSA and being surveilled and all of that. I sort of have a really unique approach to all that, which is just to embrace it and show my authentic self online. And that's actually a space where I feel empowered and safe.
Sounds like you gained a lot of freedom from embracing your authentic self. Do you have any advice for people who are holding themselves back from being fully authentic? How were you able to go through the process of really embracing that?
Yeah, I think the reward, it's really scary at first, you know, even though I'm someone who has always found it hard to conform to other people's expectation of me, I still was doing that quite a lot. I had to slowly but surely sort of uncover the different layers of pretense. And I think as you do that and as you rise up to the challenge of being who you really are, you see the rewards pretty quickly. At first, it's really scary because a lot of false things fall away from you and a lot of things that aren't actually supposed to be yours or things that aren't aligned with who you really are fall away. This could be changes in jobs or changes in relationships. And that can be really scary and frustrating. But then you start to realize like, well, those things were never really aligned with me anyway. You open up the space for things which are truly aligned for you to come into your life. I think it's about just taking those small but brave steps toward your authentic self and watching your life transform into the life that you're meant to actually be living.
I like that. I like how you mentioned how it's a process. It's not like you just take a magic pill and all of a sudden you're out of the matrix. It's right. Just, can you talk more upon your process?
Yeah, I think for me, it's been a lot of letting go of ego. And for me, that looks like attachment, really attaching to certain things and thinking, wow, I really want this for myself because I feel like that's what I'm meant to do and that's what I deserve and all these things. And you attach to it. And then oftentimes, you know, the universe takes us on a pretty intense winding road, and it's not as clear as movies say that you just figure it out and then you go on this straight path to your happy ever after or whatever. I think that there's a pretty intense winding road of a reality where every step of the way is highly beneficial and essential, but it's hard for us to see it that way because that's not the way that we understand success. For me personally, I've had to do a lot of work letting go of attachment to my perceived idea of success and to just allow for divinity to flow through each day, however that is, and just trust that the most divine thing is happening. It's been very difficult for me to get to that point. I'm pretty successful at it. I can't say every day I'm there, but I do my best.
Well, that's true. I like that as well, talking about how life ebbs and flows.
Definitely.
So what has been the most surprising part of starting your own faith?
Honestly, like I feel very proud of Unicult. And I feel very excited about the teachings that I'm bringing forth. And I feel that they're novel. I feel like there's a lot of aspects of Unicult which have been reflected in other ideologies and in other teachings. But ultimately, I feel that Unicult is a very unique energy that I've brought to Earth. And I feel very excited for that. And honestly, from my perspective, the most surprising thing is that how slow it has been to truly grow. We have so many people in Unicult, and I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but because I am a visionary and I see the future, I see Unicult being a very major religion for the future of humanity. And so when I see it moving so slowly, it sometimes is quite a shock to me.
So what is your vision?
My vision is that of what I call a unitopian paradise, which is an inevitable future that we will end up at as soon as we decide that that's what we want. It's the future where all people are valued for whatever they choose to do each day, and every person has their basic needs met, and technology is integrated into our psyches in a way that is harmonious with our overall electromagnetic structure.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's undeniably amazing. everyone wants it. But we just have to work to letting go of our attachments of how we think the world should be. And we have to stand up for what we know the world could be like. And we'll watch it happen in our lifetimes. I know we'll make great strides in that way.
So you talk about dealing with bullies and people who kind of attack you. Processes, do you use any processes to get through that? Something that could maybe help someone else, like listening to your story, how you deal with the negativity?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the way that we deal with trolls in Unicult is pretty unique. We have a very high troll conversion rate, which just means that we listen to what the trolls are trying to say at the root of their outburst. Usually they just want attention or they just want attention. And it's like a toddler in the sense that, you know, a toddler, if they get attention by throwing something or breaking something, then they're going to keep doing that to keep getting the attention. So we try to reach them and say, hey, we see that you want attention. How can we support you? And we see it from a place of compassion, ultimately. It doesn't always work. We definitely still have to set our boundaries and block quite a few people. Since I'm a femme online, you know, it's the amount of attack is just insane. Every single day I get the most insane comments and emails that are so entitled and sometimes just very disruptive to my psyche. Ultimately, I try to see the root of it and see, you know, okay, this person's in a different form of reality than I am. And maybe from their reality, they're just coming from a place where they think that they're right. I think another thing, if you're online, you get a lot of haters or a lot of trolls or a lot of comments that can be interpreted that way. It starts to feel like one big attack. Sometimes even people who are ignorant seem like they're coming from that same place of attack when actually they're just ignorant. And I found myself earlier this year actually feeling very sensitive to all of the ignorance and also attacks. And I realized I was sort of lumping them together as if one person was attacking me constantly. And I had to sort of say, okay, that's not the case. And I have to see each commenter as a unique person and not as this like global energy like coming at me, you know, because I see the positive comments that way. I see the positive comments as singular individuals, but sometimes the negative comments can all blur together and become very overwhelming. So I think if you are online and you deal with that, it's good to remember that each of those people are just people. And if they're spewing things that are painful, it's because they themselves are in pain. You can have a little bit more compassion and it can make it more palpable to be online.
That makes a lot of sense. I can know I fall into that trap. I can lump all Trump supporters into one huge conglomerate and think of them as just people trying to come together and ruin the world. But at the same time, you're right. Yeah. It's a bunch of individuals.
It's a great example.
So what has been the most trying part of starting Unicult or continuing?
I mean, for me, Unicult is my passion. It's my joy. Every day I wake up and there's things I want to do for Unicult, and the community itself is just incredible. Every challenge is honestly a joy for me because it helps me. If someone comes to me with a really good question about the ideology that I haven't thought of before, that's just an opportunity for me to dig deeper and make the ideology stronger. In this way, Unicult has become pretty infallible logically as well as very beneficial spiritually. So I really honor and respect and embrace all challenges like that. Maybe the most challenging thing, you know, the same answer as the most surprising thing is the slow growth of it. And my perception of that is over time is just very difficult for me because I feel like I am bringing a lot of really wonderful value to the world. But I feel like I sometimes have limitations in how many people I can reach. And that's very frustrating to me because I know that there are so many people who, once they hear the teachings and messages of Unicult, it absolutely transforms and changes their life. It's hard for me to know that there are people that I could be helping that I just simply haven't had the ability to reach yet, no matter how hard I try.
What are the main teachings of Unicult?
The main teachings of Unicult is that we're all one. So it's that idea of having compassion for every person and that you can be happy and that we can live in a joyous utopian reality. So we basically believe that if we work on ourselves and our own spiritual development and we learn how to harmonize our internal states, that energy will ripple out and change the world. And that with compassion and unconditional love for all beings and all life, we can transform our reality into one of paradise.
And what are the, like, you know, some Christians, they go to church every Sunday and then they give rosaries, or I'm not exactly a Christian scholar, but like, what are the tenets or the day-to-day actions of Unicult if someone wanted to be a part of it?
Yeah, we have CAM Church every Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. On YouTube, I live broadcast a sermon and we do a prayer and we sing songs just like regular church, but it's online. It's been funny right now because everybody is also doing their churches online, but we've been doing our church online for many years. That's been fun. We've seen our numbers go up since people are at home. And other than that, we have a community online. Right now it's on Discord where people communicate with one another. Members are really starting to organize lots of fun stuff. They just started a unicult themed D&D night and they watch movies together. And it's just a really good community of helping one another out through difficult times. Just like they do Cam Church Review also on Wednesdays. So the unicult members get together and they discuss the teachings that have been delivered in the sermon and how it's affected and impacted their lives and how they can apply the teachings in the future.
Oh, how do these teachings come to you?
Usually, well, I'm an open channel, so I'm a starseed and I'm an Arcturian starseed. My past life memories of where I come from are my higher self. The more I tune into my higher self, the more clearly I can see sort of the future potential of Earth, because where I come from is a very harmonious, divine place. My brain is unique in the sense that I can internalize a lot of Earth teachings and understand how people understand things. So I'm a big reader and a big learner. I love to figure out how people on Earth understand reality. And then I overlay my divine higher self information with that. And then I come up with these solutions. It's a really beautiful collaboration between, you know, my egoic human personality self and my higher self. I also get a lot of training and a lot of guidance from dreams. Lately this week, I've just been having dreams every single night where I'm being guided and taught things that I am meant to come to Earth and explain. So I've been making a lot of YouTube videos explaining these things that I come to with dreams. I also have a lot of alien experiences from different entities, and they teach me all kinds of incredible things. So I feel as though I have a very strong ability to reach into the higher realms and find information and then translate it clearly to the human way of viewing things.
So when it comes to channeling, how were you able to, I guess the best I can say is, get yourself out of the way? The fears
so
and doubts.
Scary at first. You feel like we've been so gaslit to think that we're crazy if we start to hear voices in our head. And for me, it was kind of a joke. I started saying, oh, I'm going to turn on my communication device. I was watching a sci-fi show where they had a communication device right where their third eye was. And I had already been on this spiritual journey a little bit, but I hadn't fully opened my third eye. And so when I said that, it sort of blasted open and I started directly communicating with higher entities. And yeah, it was really scary at first. I was like, well, I guess I'm crazy. Like, and you have to sort of contend with that. But the way that I dealt with that is just that over time, I just saw how beneficial this connection was. So I think that's really the main question that we should all ask ourselves when we are communicating with unseen entities is like, is this helping you or is it harming you? Is this something that's actually giving you information that's making your life richer and better and people around you are happier to be around you? Or there's a lot of negative entities that you could potentially connect with, which can make your life a living hell and which can make people around you very exhausted and frustrated to be around you. So I think that's a pretty good indicator if you're on the right path or not. And I saw my life basically blooming and thriving in ways I always had wished that it would. Everyone around me saw me becoming actually healthier and happier instead of devolving into some kind of crazier and crazier energy. So I just had to trust it as divine guidance and trust that since it was raising my own vibration into a state of joy, that it was correct for me to continue practicing that.
So talk about the changes that you see in people of your community. What changes have you seen of people who have joined the Unicult?
It's so amazing. I mean, really, sometimes people will just spend one weekend watching my videos and they'll say, this changed my life. People, the thing that Unicult holds is a space of truth and a space of obviousness that hasn't really had the chance to exist. Even though some of these things are so obvious and so simple, such as you can be happy, you're allowed to be happy. Just that message alone, there's a certain percentage of people on this planet who all they have to hear is you can be happy. And they never heard that before, you know, and that's all they need. And they just need the permission. They just need the ability to be told, oh, wow, this is a potential path that I can take. Obviously, that's not everyone. Some people require a deeper investigation. Some people require deeper thought. And luckily for them, I go pretty deep with my own thoughts to try to justify all of the teachings and allow for, it's the same message, you can be happy, but it's from the deepest sense of logical approach. People's lives change dramatically. I think sometimes people find Unicult and like we were talking about earlier, their life totally shifts. You know, maybe their relationships end, maybe they switch jobs. Okay. Yeah. When people are exposed to Unicult, it honestly usually has a pretty dramatic effect. And some people join Unicult and some people don't. A lot of people will follow the teachings pretty closely, and it will have an effect on their lives in a very positive way. I've definitely been the light for a lot of people and prevented them from killing themselves, which is obviously huge. It's just such a huge honor to be able to show somebody that life can be worth living and that we can actually create the world that we deserve to live in rather than being victims of conformity and expectation and all of those negative things that people can't survive.
Oh, that's so cool that I like hearing all the positivity that's come out of it.
Definitely.
So we are coming to the end of our time together. And one thing I like to ask my guest is to do a 1 minute of motivation. You can imagine this as if you have a time machine and you're transported back to your 8-year-old self and you want to tell that 8-year-old self what they need to live a happy, successful life, but you only have a minute until you're taken back into the future. Or you can think of it as condensing your entire life's message into a minute. So are you ready?
Trust who you are. You are strange for a reason, and it's good to be unique, and it's good to tune into the things which only you know. If you look to other people to tell you what you should be or what you should do, you will be misled and misguided because only you know the truth of your heart, and that is beautiful and divine and important for everyone to experience. So please, please, please be who you really are, and it's going to be very difficult when other people see you because they won't understand you, but that's okay. And eventually you will find people who do understand you, and that will be so rewarding.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on my podcast. I very much enjoy listening to your story and how you had anxiety and doubt and depression in your life until you finally decided to embrace your authenticity and then share it out into a world which allows people to do the same. When a lot of people hear the term like cult leader, it says a negative connotation. That's not even the right word, but it has like negative stigma to it. But at the same time, I love the way that you empower people to live their own best lives. And that is such a powerful message and very much needed in this world. So thank you so much for coming on my podcast. And thank you so much for what you do for this world.
Thank you, Brett. Have a great day.
May your day be special.
Uni bless.
And there you have it, folks. That is my interview with Unicult. Unicron. Doesn't Unicult sound like a great utopian ideal? I mean, if you are going to join a cult, one where everyone treats each other with respect and build each other up and make people feel special, I think is a good one. I've listened to a few of Unicult's online messages. I don't remember if I've seen Cam Church, but she has songs and things online. They're nice to listen to, and she has a very good message. So I would suggest at very least checking it out for a pick-me-up. You don't even have to join Unicult, but she does have a Cam Church and things. But I also appreciate her sharing her message of how she got started. Being the weird one. Everyone, I think, feels a little bit of the outsider. I remember when I was a kid, I think I mentioned this before in my podcast, I always felt I was alone/special in my issues. But the more I actually grow to talk to people, the more I realize that we are all the same. We're all the same neurotic messes for the most part. Some people are better at hiding it than the others. But for the most part, almost all of us have that voice in our head. And to listen to somebody who had that, who suffered through bullying and was able to come out the other end and be their more authentic self. To share yourself authentically, to share who you truly are with people, in my humble opinion, is one of the most vulnerable things, which is why I appreciate everybody who comes on my podcast and shares their story, especially the people like Unicult who gets really vulnerable in talking about who they are and what they put out into this world. And another thing I really appreciated was how she deals with trolls. Being, as she talked about, a femme online, I'm sure she's received many a death threats, many a rape threats, and many a dick pics. Because unfortunately, in the world we live in, that's what it's like to be a woman online who's trying to do something with their life. And to be able to talk to these people, because one thing I do believe, unless you're a psychopath or a sociopath, you don't attack people unless they're hurt. One of my Toastmaster friends keeps on saying this, and I truly believe that hurt people hurt people. People who are hurt hurt people. And being able to actually come at the people who attack her with compassion, that's something I definitely need to work on. As I talk to people who I see as against me and against some of my beliefs, it's hard. It's easy to open your heart. I remember listening to Ram Dass talk about this, how he used to put pictures of Trump, pictures of George Bush. This was before Trump was even president, because, you know, he just represented everything wrong in business. I mean, this is before you had political aspirations, listening to him talk about it. But putting people, pictures of these people, and every day looking at these pictures of these people he does not like, and opening his heart and sending them love as a way to build his compassion muscle. And for her to talk about that, how she's able to, and her followers be able to look at these people, as hurt people. And reminds me of that story of Patton Oswalt, who had that guy attack him, and instead of attacking back, Patton looked at his things and noticed that he was having problems paying for his, I think it was cancer treatments, but it was treatments of some kind. And instead of lashing out, he says, oh, you must be suffering through this hard time and going through something. And he actually got his followers to help the guy out. And just the guy was brought to tears because people cared. And that is one thing we do need more in this world, is caring. So if you want to check out Unicole and the Unicult, go to UnicoleUnicron.com. There you can find her blessings. She has a free 30-minute consultation. She does tarot readings and video communication. She has music. She does a weekly cam church on YouTube. You can check her on Instagram. So everything, of course, the link will be in the description. But Unicole, UNICOLE, Unicron, UNICRON.com. And there you have it, folks. That is episode 68. Did you know that 68 is a sign of great abundance and prosperity? So thank you for listening to the angel number 68. So you will get abundance and prosperity because I love you very much. And if you want to get in touch with me, email me at BRE2TSDUPR2ES@joyousexpansion.com. You can also check me out at joyousexpansion.com. More of these are at pod.joyousexpansion.com. You can see me on Instagram at joyousexpansion, Twitter on Joyous Expansion, even LinkedIn on Joyous Expansion. I am Increase Your Joy on Facebook because my SEO game is terrible. Also, check out thechurchofawesome.com if you want to see more of me. If you like this, like, subscribe, review, anything to help share it, help get the message out there. And I appreciate you for who you are. You are a special human being. Thank you so much. I love you for listening. And I am Brett Dupree, your champion of authentic joy, catalyst of transformation, and joyous expansion life coach, reminding you to be love, to be joy, to be awesome. Now play my jingle.
JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Come and say hello to Brett Dupree. He is an inspirational life coach. Good for you and good for me. He turned my life from gray to blue. I'm sure he'll do the same for you. Get in touch and you'll see your life will change dramatically. JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com.